This is Savages in the Box.
I want you to feel us.
Now here's Chris Carlin.
Honestly, just let the Red Sox go home. I mean, they are just brutal to absolutely watch. Oh my God. Pack it in. The Red Sox are an atrocious baseball team. Now 6-17 on the year. The Yankees have beaten them 10 straight times. That is the first time that has happened since Ted Williams was playing for the Red Sox, 1953, and 11 straight games at Yankee Stadium. Savages in the Box. This is Carlin. Yankees win 6-3. Honestly, the Red Sox should just be banned for the rest of the season. I mean, they are that bad that you talk about sending an entire team to the alternate site. I don't want to watch them play. I mean, we're all thrilled to have sports back, but I can go back to watching Netflix as opposed to watching the Red Sox play baseball. I mean, I'll find something there. Reruns of Veronica's Closet. I don't care. Whatever it is, it's better than watching Boston right now. They cannot pitch to save their lives. They score some runs here and there, but overall, they are a long way away, and the Yankees just treated them like they were batting practice over the last couple of days. Their team ERA is now 6.06, and their walks, hits to innings pitched is 1.63. That is a massive number. Worst in baseball last year was a 1.46. And the opposition this year is hitting 286 against the Red Sox. Absolutely brutal. Martin Perez, their starter on Monday night, gave up 3 earned runs in 3 innings. That lowered his career ERA against the Yankees. It had been 9.97, and now it drops down to about 9.75, thanks to now 27 earned runs in 24 1/3 innings. Oofa. Monday night, Luke Voit, a couple of home runs, 3 runs batted in. He's now got 7 home runs on the season. 7 home runs for Luke Voit. That's pretty impressive. And, you know, when it comes to Voit, that's pretty impressive, but apparently not all that surprising.
He's been really good. Felt like when he came back for summer camp, I felt like his at-bats were really good each and every day. You know, he was walking a ton in summer camp and in those exhibition games. And I just felt like really from Jump Street, he was in a pretty good place. And he's carried that into the season now.
Yeah, and for Voit, he is now, as we said, with 7 home runs. And he's kind of doing it in a different way. John Flaherty said on the Yankee post game that he had not heard of this before, the approach that he's now taking in trying to get ready for games. It's a little different.
Making sure I'm doing my homework in every pitcher. You know, a big key for me is hitting the machine, and, you know, I like to hit pitches that whatever the pitcher's, you know, go-to pitch is, and that really gets me focused. You know, I really don't hit BP anymore. I just get my work in before the game, and, you know, I try to work on whatever the pitcher's trying to get me out with. And, yeah, it's honestly my keys to, you know, and obviously being healthy again, which is, you know, I'm feeling good, so it's good.
Oh, whatever it is, the guy's delivering, and they've slid him into that 2 spot, and it hasn't been any kind of an issue whatsoever since Aaron Judge has been out of the lineup. Tyro Estrada homered. Aaron Hicks hit his 2nd home run, also had a big double early in the game as well to get the Yankees on the board. Shocker, had another rain delay. This one 1 hour and 23 minutes long. Unfortunate for Jordan Montgomery because he was looking very sharp. 3 2/3, 3 hits, 1 earned run, didn't walk anybody, struck out 4. The game in its entirety was basically a matter-of-fact affair. But later in the game, you did get an opportunity to see Aroldis Chapman for the first time this year. And for the Yankees, look, Zach Britton's been amazing, 8-for-8 in saves, just had the one little hiccup down in Tampa. But other than that, they, I hate to say it, haven't missed him. And yet here he comes back. And with his return, just makes the rich richer at this point. As far as what Boone saw, Chapman did give up a run in the game, but still very pleased.
I thought he was really good. I thought he was really sharp. I thought the stuff was good. Pounding the strike zone. You know, really just got ambushed by Peraza there. Tip your cap for the extra base hit. But then, you know, kind of dumped that ball down the line to ding him for a run. But I was really excited by what I saw just as far as his stuff, his ability to spin the breaking ball, the, you know, life on the fastball, and really for the most part pounded the strike zone. So I thought it was a really good first outing for him. After two live sessions last week, I was really glad to get him out there and get him started.
Boone did say that they would not be using Chapman back-to-back this week as they work his way back and just kind of build him up at this point. Did hit 101 on the gun, which, as we all know, is the biggest part of Chapman's effectiveness. You know, I could really just do the and kind of move it along that way, but whatever. I guess this sounds a little bit cooler. One real negative to keep an eye on here, and it's been a problem, is the defense for Gleyber Torres. He was bad on Monday night throwing the baseball. He was throwing it all over the place, and it's clearly in his head right now. We're not talking about Chuck Knoblauch level of being in his head, but when he has an opportunity at the routine ground ball, he's either throwing it in the dirt or he's sailing it. He's taking extra time, and you can honestly just see his mind working right now entirely too hard when it comes to just trying to make that routine play. And for Torres, you know, the Yankees are going to need him to tighten that up. He, in my mind, is not a shortstop for the long term. I honestly believe that. I think he is a second baseman for the long term. Maybe you have a situation next year, if you can bring LeMahieu back, where you're playing him more at first base. I don't know what happens with Voit or anything else at that point, but I know this. Gleyber Torres is not a shortstop. I'm not convinced he has the body type for it, and he certainly doesn't look like somebody that is going to be great at the position. I wonder if he can even be a little bit better than serviceable. You know, can he be Derek Jeter in the later years at shortstop? I don't know the answer to that, because at least you knew you could count on Jeter to make the routine play. At the moment, you can't really count on Gleyber Torres to make the routine play. Let's spend a few minutes talking about Giancarlo Stanton. So, to no surprise, he is back on the injured list with the hamstring. Let's think about his Yankee tenure for a moment. 2018, he comes over in the trade, hits 38 homers, drives in 100 runs. But what was the knock on it, even though he played in 158 games that year? That those home runs, those runs batted in, came in situations where they were add-on situations where maybe the Yankees were already up 6-1 in a game, and it felt like that's when you could count on a Stanton home run. Then year two, in 2019, he misses all but 18 games of the year. And now in year three, he's dealing with the injury back in spring training, and now dealing with the hamstring, something that's just frankly not all that shocking. Now, I have certainly been one of the people that has been heavily critical of what's gone on with him, the body type, all of it. You look at what has gone on in his career, and it's hard to imagine that he is just not going to continue to have these kind of injuries throughout. But I give him credit, because look at a couple of things this season. You know, he had the plan of losing 20 pounds or so and lost more so, like 25, before the restart, when he's trying to evaluate all the different things that have kept him off the field and how maybe he can differently handle his body to stay healthier. So that's one. And then two, after he gets hurt again with the hamstring injury, it's really gotten to a point where he can't even believe what's going on with all the injuries in his career. I want you to take a listen to a few things that he had to say on Monday afternoon. and tell me that this isn't a guy that is hurting internally as well as externally.
Words can't really describe the disappointment I've had over this, but you can't really, I can't dwell on it. I have to see what's in front of me, and that's still a decent amount of the season and playoffs left. So though I was in the situation before, it seems unreal at times, but I can just push forward and root my guys on until I'm back.
It's not even in the words, really. It's more in the tone, isn't it? That this is a guy that is exceptionally frustrated with what has gone on here and knows that there is a responsibility to being a New York Yankee in particular of being out on the field. Look, everybody knows all players want to play. Nobody wants to dog it. Nobody wants to be injured. It doesn't matter what kind of money that you're making. But when you're Stanton and you came over in the scenario that you did, and you already walked into the door where there is a player who's very similar to you, but a couple of years younger, but is a homegrown guy in Aaron Judge, you know, while the two of you together could be an incredibly dynamic force, there's also always going to be a comparison among the fans. They love their guy Judge, and you understand why. So Stanton was then asked what he would think if he were a fan. What would be his message to the fans right now?
Honestly, I would be disappointed. I am disappointed in myself. I would be disappointed in the ones rooting for me. So just hold on tight. You know, I'm working. There's nothing for me to do but work to get back and keep a positive mindset. Repetitive as that sounds or might seem, there's no positivity or nothing benefiting in being negative about it or bringing people down around me for it.
That's a guy who is unfortunately in a situation where he's talking himself into being positive about it. And that's a dangerous place to be. Now, what I mean by that is when you are constantly going through the same thing and not able to fight your way out of it through the hard work and you end up right back where you started, after a while, it becomes harder and harder and harder to do. And yes, he is paid a ridiculous amount of money, but he is a human being as well. And if you're going through that and you continue to have these same kind of injuries year after year after year, it's going to wear on you. That to me sounds like a guy that has really been worn down by the situation.
This has been tough, to be honest. This is my life. I put a lot into this. It's unbelievable to, you just got to look at it for what it is. The spot that I'm in, and it's a tough spot, but people have been in worse, there can always be light at the end of the tunnel. So you got to keep positive. You got to keep moving forward. And, the mindset helps you come back as well. I think that's underestimated.
And you heard earlier, he even, when he was talking about the fans, said, "Those who are still with me." You know, he understands that there is a large faction of Yankee fans that is not in his corner, that hasn't liked him since he got here. I have to tell you something. After I hear those words from Stanton on Monday, I'm a Stanton fan. I'm rooting hard for this guy. I want to see him snap out of this, come back, and be a major factor for the Yankees down the stretch this season, and especially in the postseason. Because that's a guy that is busting his ass to get back, yet we don't really see it, we don't really notice it. That sequence of comments is as human as you will ever see a superstar player. And for me, just listening to the frustration in his voice, you know what? Turn me around a little bit on him. I've been a guy that's been very critical, yeah, as I said earlier, but this is somebody that I want to give more of a chance to. It gets frustrating. It gets frustrating to watch this continue to happen, but knowing that he is hurting the way he is going through it mentally as well as physically, how much he wants to be back on the field, because that's what I heard as I'm listening to him there, I'm on board for Stanton. All right, let's get to some other news, and it was pretty good news when it comes to DJ LeMahieu. Let's get Aaron Boone to give you the update on what's going on with his thumb.
There's no fracture in there, and, you know, the ligaments on the side are intact and not compromised, so it's just the sprain. So it's, you know, kind of getting the swelling out of there and hopefully in that 2 to 3 week range. Yes.
Look, if it's 2 to 3 weeks, they've dodged a major bullet here. And they are still going to have his hand specialist that worked on it a couple of years ago when he was with the Rockies look at it to make sure that all is the same in terms of the case and what he had to deal with back then and how it was treated. But having said that, if you are just missing LeMahieu for the next 3 weeks, it's obviously a storm that the Yankees can weather. But he also is somebody that you should not rush in any way. If he is still hurting at all, there's no reason for him to be back in the least. He is somebody that, frankly, as we have seen this year, dealing with COVID as he was, can come back and within a few days be game ready. And we know that for DJ LeMahieu, what ultimately matters is the postseason. This is a guy that is exceptionally clutch, is going to put the bat on the ball, and in big situations, you can rely on without blinking an eye. All right, massive series now starts tonight with the Tampa Rays, and you'll remember it was about a week and a half ago that the Yankees dropped 3 out of 4 down in Tampa. They got shut out 1-0 on Friday night. They split a doubleheader, and then they lost in walk-off fashion 4-3 on Sunday when they gave up the lead thanks to a Brandon Lau home run that tied the game at 3 late in the ball game. Here's Aaron Boone reflecting on that series in Tampa.
I thought we did a lot of things, you know, in that series pretty well. You know, even though we didn't score a ton of runs outside of the one game we played, you know, I thought we gave ourselves a lot of opportunities. And, you know, that's what you got to do against them is give yourself as many opportunities as you can, because you know it's going to be challenging to score and score big against them. But if we give ourselves those opportunities and then capitalize when we have those chances and then continue to obviously pitch well against them, then we'll like our chances.
They have not been a team, the Rays, that has pitched great. Team ERA of 4.28, that's middle of the pack in baseball. Now, the thing about Lau is, that really got him going. Brandon Lau right now is hitting .338 with 20 runs batted in. He's fourth in baseball in OPS at north of 1 at 1.14. And he's got an 8-game hitting streak that started with that home run. And during the 8-game hitting streak, he's hitting .424 with 5 home runs and 11 runs batted in. This guy has been tearing the cover off the ball, and as a result, not just of that, but of the team playing very well since that series, they have won now 9 of their last 11, beginning with that Friday night 1-0 win over the Yankees. Last 9 games, the Rays have scored 65 runs. That's more than 7 runs per game. And they have scored the most runs in the American League just by 2 over the Yankees with 121 this season. They are 2 games back of the Yankees. So this is the biggest series that the Yankees have played yet this season, to say the least. Pitching matchups, it's Blake Snell going up against Masahiro Tanaka tonight. Then it will be Tyler Glasnow and Garrett Cole on Wednesday. So you've immediately got 2 games with great pitching matchups. And then Thursday, Rays still to be determined against James Paxton for the Yankees. And man, will that be a massive test for Paxton. So the Yankee pitching has really got to be on point this week. And wouldn't it be nice if you saw the real Gerrit Cole emerged Wednesday night. The guy that we haven't seen quite yet. He's been grinding. He's been finding his way to win games, but we haven't seen that uber dominant Gerrit Cole yet. Wednesday night would be the ideal time. All right, we will be back with another edition of Savages in the Box tomorrow after game one of the Yankees and Rays series. Carlin out.
Savages in the Box is available on the ESPN app and from Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.